Hey, are we recording?
Yeah.
We're always
dude,
recording.
Dude, we always we Earl, go straight in.
That's the secret sauce.
That's the Szechuan sauce.
I
expect an introduction here, by the way.
We'll get to that.
This is straight from the Sea Beast's blue milk teat.
Delay. He's 9 light seconds away on the moon.
We need that little background that like.
Can you hear me? I'm coming in from the moon.
Oh my God.
The Allied forces have taken the beaches of Normandy. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just talking.
Thank gosh.
Oh, God.
Can y'all actually hear me, though? I'm just...
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Somehow.
It's radio gold.
Is there a mic setting that I need to adjust? I will.
No. I'm holding a hanger up and so I can hear you.
Yes. Set it to 2017 instead of 1942.
All right. I'll talk in my normal voice.
I just went to the movie picture show.
No, don't. Like I like that. I like the.
Yeah,
you like that
too. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a good mix.
All right.
No, it sounds great.
we're really recording this.
Yes, we record everything.
Right. I don't know how.
Now, I assume Earl boxes like an old-timey boxer, too, you know, where he holds his fist up in front of him.
Fisticuffs.
Where you put the, yeah, you got to curl the fist.
He's a pugilist. Yeah.
You scoundrel, I will pugilize you.
Yeah, he's got posters of Ted Roosevelt with the monocle and the...
That's right.
Very elaborate mustache.
That's right. Yes, it's very. Yes.
So
what he's looking at his phone. What is this devilry?
So how do we want to do this? I guess we have to say spoilers. We have to tell people that this is full spoiler. This is a full spoiler. The only subject matter is large sea beasts with nipples of blue milk. That's the only subject matter that we're going to be covering.
I've seen some people describe that as green milk. Actually.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends. It's like that blue dress. It's like that blue dress. Like, was it blue?
The black blue versus gold and white or whatever.
It really is like whatever color you want to see.
Yeah, I would go with that.
Because apparently
it left it up to interpretation, really. Well, apparently the color of the milk.
Apparently blue milk is actually from a bantha. That's not from the sea beast.
Oh, wow, got some.
Well, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, I've got that from my 1998 visual guide. So I'm sure it's still relevant. I'm sure it's completely still canon, all of it.
And what's the name of that creature that was secreting milk?
It doesn't matter. I don't know.
I mean, you can get milk from anything that has nipples, Earl.
That's true. That's true.
I've got nipples.
I'm assuming
can
we're talking about
the
movie. Yes, we're here to talk about the movie. The Last Jedi, yes.
All right, Tommy, start the theme music.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't plug my phone in for that. Come on, guys.
Y'all have theme music? I was just kidding.
Yeah. Well, no, it is. No, I understand.
Occasionally.
That here, I'll just turn it on.
Michael's drunk, and he actually dialed in from a ditch.
There you go.
Hello and welcome to Card Trader Illuminati, a very special episode. This is normally your podcast for Star Wars Card Trader and all things digital card trading. But tonight we are here for one reason and one reason only, The Last Jedi. With us as always is Michael. How you doing, Michael?
Yes. My body's ready.
Good. I'm Tommy, by the way, just to get that in there. Rhett is also here. How you doing, Rhett?
Hey, I'm good. Two quick points. It sounded like that was source music, as though... perhaps Michael had a full orchestra in his room playing our theme music. I thought that's good. That's the way to come to the table.
Yeah.
With a full orchestra. And also, are we really all things digital card trading? That seems a little broad for us.
We are as much all things digital card trading as we are all things period. Yeah. So under that
okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I guess throw it in. I mean, you could have just as easily have said the podcast that is, you know, we're all things law related. I mean, we just pick anything, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
This is just our chosen vehicle to market ourselves to the world. And also tonight we have a very special guest joining us, Earl. Earl, welcome to the podcast.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Twitterless Earl, right?
Yeah, some may know him as Twitterless Dr. Earl.
Twitterless Dr. Earl, yes.
And he may be known as Twitterless Dr. Earl.
Earl.
Yeah, I have my doctorate in the Journal of the Wills. I've been a student of the Wills journals for years.
Oh, these books, they mean nothing.
Sorry, Tommy.
No. So Earl is has to my
special
knowledge,
guest Frank Oz.
That was a good impression. Earl's never
Piggy
used
yet.
The app. But that's okay.
No, that was Brian Henson.
Well versed in the Star Wars universe.
No, in fact, quick story about Earl. So we had an ongoing chat, Facebook group chat, when we all found the app.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in that one group chat we had, we started talking about Star Wars Card Trader.
Right.
And talking about, and you know, trading and getting the hang of it and all this. And Earl became so disgusted with it that he asked us to take it to another chat so he would not have to endure it.
Right, yeah. No. I mean, it's a wise choice. He's wise beyond his years.
It is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I have card trader abilities.
Or aspirations.
No. Or aspirations.
Yeah.
Yeah, in hindsight.
So maybe I think you made really the right idea to have me on.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
no, you made the
I
right decision.
Gone with you.
The financial savings and the time investment alone, you're years ahead of us at this point.
Right, yeah.
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 You dodged a bullet on that. But we are glad to have you here to talk about the movie in particular.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you.
Yes, yeah. I think among the four of us, I have seen the movie the least at this point.
Yes, that's true. By one showing
in the theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of us saw it back to back.
Oh yes.
And we paid a premium for that first one, by the way.
Dude, but it was worth it.
I just couldn't
bring
myself to do it, but it did sound like y'all get a little extra content with John Williams' feature at the beginning and. And some Topps trading cards.
Yeah, we actually got some
cards.
Yeah.
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 And I did go ahead and order the extra
the full
ones.
Set.
Yeah.
Now, so did we all get different ones?
I think so. I think that they throw like different ones out there, like three.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't opened mine up.
Three examples.
Yeah, because there's three cards in mine. The
I don't
fourth
have
is just like
BB-8
a promo
or a Porg or whatever.
Yeah.
I think
so
there's a set of eight. Is what the thing said.
Yeah.
You could collect all of them if you send a go to this website.
$3 for shipping. You have to have your decoder ring and figure out the secret message. Something about Ovaltine.
Yeah.
After I saw it, because things kept happening in the movie, and so I kind of felt like, oh, maybe
there's
I
a lot going on.
Sign up for the second showing. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Well, I mean, for me, the 6 o'clock, the tone was set immediately because we got a John Williams special featurette beforehand. First, Ryan Johnson came up, said thanks for seeing this, and here's a little special featurette. And it was like a 5 minute John Williams thing, but man.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not even sure it was 5 full minutes.
It really set the tone for me. Like I was all in at that point. I mean, we could have been watching, you know, some horrible Turkish version of Star Wars for all I cared at that point. I
mean, or even Justice League.
Oh, shot across the mouth, Justice League. which currently has a better audience score on Rotten Tomatoes than The Last Jedi does.
Oh, my word.
I'm surprised by that.
People
I'm
are dumb. Really people. No, it's just people are dumb. I mean, it's just, like, you know, if it's not exactly the way that they want it to be, they go in and they rate it one star just to skew the... That's why Rotten Tomatoes, at least from a, you know, user standpoint, is not a great... I mean, because you can have one a group of 1,000 people... who didn't like, you know, green milk coming out of the beast's nipples, or, like, you know, were offended by the size of the areolas. I mean, it's just, you know.
You've got some, yeah, alien creature purists.
Yeah, yeah. They, I think that's probably what turned a lot of people against the movie, or is all the teat.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of nipple. I mean, you had some Adam Driver nipple. You had
probably the highest number of.
He kind of worked out a little bit.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Well, it's certainly that's got to be the highest nipple count of any Star Wars movie, right?
Oh, I would think so.
I got to six. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. At least six nipples. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I forgot. I've already changed my Rotten Tomatoes score now that you guys reminded me of those.
You're going to update that.
I've dropped it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, possibly eight. Did we? I don't know. Finn was naked and wrapped in a bubble in like
that's
the packing
true.
Bubble.
That's true.
He was from a FedEx shipment.
There may have been a slip there. We might like a
yeah,
nip.
I,
there may
I
have been a nip
if,
slip.
Did
there.
We have any big F nips
yeah.
in the?
Yeah.
I thought that was a good point that you made, Rhett, earlier about reference the English alphabet.
Yes.
Because, okay, I mean, just for the convenience of having a movie, a motion picture, I can get past, okay, the primary language spoken is in English.
Yeah.
That was one of the changes I didn't really have a problem with, because in the original trilogy, as it was shot, there were English labels on some of the controls and things, and that was gone in and changed to, I guess, what they call basic.
Right.
The basic
right.
Yeah.
Arabesh.
It's all Arabesh.
Yeah.
Arabesh. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And but yeah, in this one you had a couple references to, you know, big F.
Yeah, you're right. Right at the beginning, the humorous exchange between Poe and Hux, where he was really trolling Hux pretty
big
bad.
Time. Yeah. Yeah.
He called, you know, he said, is it Hux with an H?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
And then later on, we got Big F. Now, Big F, I can buy a little bit better because he was FN.
FN. Right.
Right.
So apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we had TK in the previous, you know, in other movies.
Did, yeah.
And,
right. Well,
and
of course, but when
you get right down to it and it starts to be when you spell out the names like that, that's different. And I thought that Hux thing was a different. That's something new for Star Wars, where now we're basically using the English spelling of the phonetic words.
But we didn't actually see an H written somewhere.
No, we didn't. But that's true, and we don't. You know, who knows how the Arabesh alphabet works exactly? It was notable to me because we've not seen that in any other movie, Star Wars movie. Where we're spelling the character names out in our language, right?
Yeah.
I just assume that, like, when I'm watching it, that I have an earworm translator in my ear from Star Trek. And
yes.
A babblefish.
Yeah.
It's a babblefish.
Yeah,
a babblefish. Translating that for me. So when they spell the word, I mean, I'm just hearing it in English, but...
No, that's true. That could be.
No, it's not a sticking point. It's not even a plot hole for me. I just call it out because it was a bit of a change.
Well, there was a lot of firsts.
The series, so.
There was a lot of firsts in this. I mean, everybody, of course, is pointing out the use of the word, you know, Godspeed. I mean, so that's a first in Star Wars. Somebody,
true.
You know, referencing a deity of some type.
Well,
so.
we've referenced hell a couple of times though.
Yes, like go true. To hell. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I'll see you in hell.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
little Harrison.
Yeah,
So, and that didn't really take me out of the movie either. But I guess I did make a mental. It was a mental checkpoint, but it didn't.
But that is a very good point. I mean, for those people that are like saying, "Well, this is the first time. Why are we doing that?" I mean, there's been the reference of hell, so of course, I mean, you know, there's got to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the movies are made in English, and they're made. The characters are supposed to be relatable to us, right?
Right.
So when they throw those little things in, sitting ducks.
Sure.
You know, they talk about dog. I mean, I feel like somebody said dog or something in one of them even. I feel like somebody referenced an animal in this one that was a anyway. Maybe Rose about, maybe Rose did or something, right?
Chewbacca at one point. Didn't they say something about a dog or get this? I don't know.
Walking carpet. I don't know that there's been a dog reference.
Yeah, maybe not. But anyway, but my point is that that's not the kind of crap to get hung up on because
no, they are
human characters. Yeah. We're supposed to be relatable to them in some way. So that's okay. Those are idioms and things that we say. So, you know, I don't get too wrapped up in that.
Jokes. I think we hit a.
Oh yeah, there's our first your mama joke.
Yeah, that was
Star Wars. And I think people probably there's an element of people taking issue with that opening.
Yeah.
I know there is because I've seen them on the message boards.
Oh sure, yeah.
Absolutely hysterical over it.
Yeah. You're talking about the thing you did with Huck.
Well, just the whole diatribe.
Troll. Call.
I liked it.
I thought it was I didn't love it at first, but the second viewing I liked it okay. Like it didn't bother me. Yeah. I mean, there was a couple things the first time around that just took me out of it a bit, but the second time, man, I mean, you've got to see this thing twice at least because the second viewing is totally almost a different experience because you're somewhat, you know, not going to be taken aback by some of the things that you just like you just were looking around saying what the F just happened. That first viewing.
You're a little more oriented. What do y'all think about those bomber ships? Because aren't those just like, I mean, you just have rows of bombs. If you get shot, gone, you're dead, right?
So maybe that's the same as any other bomb. That's a bomber. That's an American bomber from World War II, right? I mean, that
basically
was the motif they were going for. Now, how does that work exactly in the microgravity of of orbital space? I don't know. Do they really drop? Do they fall? Or, you know, that's just crap. Right? I mean, that's just stuff that – I mean, those are visual – choices, and we understood what was happening.
I love that scene. That was
I liked it. I liked it too. I thought that was one of the better prolonged action sequences we've seen out of Star Wars in a good long time.
Well, of course, it was just more of a plot point to show Paige Tico being, you know, a hero, and you know her sister being affected by that type of thing. I mean, that's
well, it set a few things in motion. It gave. Yeah. Oh, a character arc, right?
Right.
And it gave Rose a motivation to.
Yeah.
I gotta say, they sort of have reversed. So, you know, in Force Awakens, I felt like maybe Finn had a bigger role. They really reversed it. And to me, like, Poe had a better arc than
the. Oh, yeah. Like, that was because Poe was shoehorned in a little bit late in Force Awakens because he was intended to die the early drafts, right?
Yeah.
But they liked what Isaacs did with the character, so they kept him around. So he didn't have as much to do, and this time he got much more focus.
Yeah,
I thought it was well. The movie was well served by that.
I thought so too.
Is great.
I thought he had better lines. I think that they gave some dumb lines to Finn, like dumb stuff. Like I don't know.
He didn't have a lot to do that was very important. I felt like seemed like they didn't really know where to stick him, so they stuck him on Canto Bight. I know, but there was no payoff to that mission. It didn't work.
Yeah, I would say
they freed the horse, like
the animals. Yeah, they creatures. Freed the animals.
Yeah, that was my one sticking point with the whole movie was I just didn't get that.
Well, that's a lot of people are saying the Canto Bight stuff seemed excessive and not necessary.
I like the casino. I just didn't like the whole thing releasing the animals and
Animals are much more than humans.
You prefer to have animals in shackles.
Yes. abused for your amusement.
Amusement and or food.
On a plate. Yeah, on a plate.
Yeah. I hear you. Hey, look, that's the way. Yeah, I get that point of view.
I think there were political messages.
They look delicious.
I want these. Look, the never-ending story animals did not, you know, they stuck their head in the thing. Is that the creature from the never-ending story?
No, I got it. I see it. Yeah.
It looks
similar, like it.
For sure. Yeah, similar.
I don't know. That whole part, I thought, well, okay, this I could do without that part. But
and I guess it's sort of to misconstrue a line. It sort of gave Ben especially his encounter with DJ and sort of seeing Finn was like, why would you ever hate anything about a place like this?
Right.
Gave him a glimpse into a larger world. Like, it sort of broadened his horizons.
Yeah, because presumably he has been very shut off from.
Well, yeah, he was a kid.
I mean, when they was the galaxy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He was a sanitation worker taken as a child, and I'm a little fuzzy on how the First Order works, honestly.
Well, there's some stuff in books about all that. It was actually.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm not a reader.
I know. It's Hux's dad. Hux's dad ran a program of basically snatching children to prepare them to be stormtroopers. I mean, that's basically
none of that happened in my dojo.
Yeah, I know, but that is canon. I mean, that's sort of like
so really
all that needs to be shot out of a cannon.
I mean, look, I'm with you. There's some stuff I don't read the comics, so I keep up with the novels, but I don't read the comics. So you know, it's not like I'm a completist or anything. But I mean, because there's a lot of there was apparently something in the Poe annual comic that helped inform his relationship with Leia this time around. So I mean, there's stuff that
they were lovers.
No, they weren't lovers. But
a Ms. Robinson sort of thing.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay,
it was like a motherly type thing more than anything.
No, it wasn't. So apparently
they all are. Everybody is.
Yeah. Go ahead, Earl. Go ahead.
No, Michael, maybe you can answer this.
Yeah.
So Laura Dern's character, yes. Vice Admiral Holdo,
yes.
apparently had like a backstory with Leia. Like
yeah,
they were
childhood friends. They're childhood friends, yeah, because they're both born of royalty. So they're childhood friends, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I was hearing that on another webcast about it, and
sure.
about how she's supposed to be real quirky and kind of rebellious.
She was kind of that way.
This was portrayed that as much. Here,
no, they certainly. I mean, but here's the deal with that. I mean, I think that's a stupid thing to say, because I think all of us can agree that, you know, with age comes wisdom, and maybe like, you know, your personality changes. I mean, you know, she
and also she had what, 10 minutes of screen time total.
I mean, you don't get to see
the full range of someone's emotional capacity in whatever glimpse we get of them in a movie like this.
Yeah, yeah. So that's dumb. That's really nitpicky. Picky to say the characters changed.
Yeah, and I'm not looking for that. Really.
I'm just saying whomever was on that webcast needs to just freaking get a life. I mean, that's a little much. I mean, we're supposed to get that she's got purple hair. There you go. There's your quirk.
They're so quirk. I mean,
there's your quirk.
That's quirk.
Yeah.
That's off the chain.
Yeah, it is off the chain.
As we say in the
back, there we are back to 1942.
So here's what I want to happen. I want Billy Lord's character to become like I want her to take on the mantle of the a leader. Like, I want her to go up through the ranks and be the
resistance leader.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they can, it's a pretty small
tree.
Who's gonna?
Yeah, at this point,
are the other four people gonna be upset about that?
So, so there's 400 left. Is that what we're to assume?
No, there was 400 left before all the rest of them got killed.
Okay.
When they got on the ships, the transport ships to leave the Radis, there were 400 of them. There were enough to hang out on the Millennium Falcon by the time it was all said and done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe like 150 people are left, basically.
I don't think it was 150 people. I think it was 15 to 20.
Yeah. The Millennium Falcon can't hold that many. It can't hold 100 people.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it looked a little bit crowded in there, but they didn't have 3 dozen people in there.
Well, if there wasn't so many freaking porgs on the ship, maybe they could have fit some more people.
Infestation. That's going to cause some problems.
On the subject of porgs,
they're fine.
I was prepared to hate every moment they were on screen.
right.
And I love the porgs.
Yeah, I do too.
They were okay.
They're fine.
Look, all I need, that scene with Chewbacca was a great. That was good work from the porgs. Okay, that poochy lip.
Is
they're
all right.
No, I'm on board with.
But man, they look tasty.
They did.
Did I just want to bite into that thing?
Oh, I couldn't believe. Like, how could Chewie, being basically, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to.
Oh, Chewie.
He's like part beast, and he just doesn't eat that.
Yeah,
thing.
No, he's a carnivore.
Wookie's gotta eat.
I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah, Wookie gotta eat.
How and can you not just bite
that thing
into
looked?
That?
Oh man, I wanted to sink my teeth into it. It was perfectly good. Cooked.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Rhett, I know your opinions on non popcorn snack foods at the theater.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, I would look. You give me that on a stick.
Oh, pork on a stick.
Pork on a stick, baby.
I mean, look, our theater, that theater we saw it in, they've got chicken and waffles.
Oh yeah, they got all kinds of stuff.
Hot dogs, yeah,
flatbread,
what pretzels, and all this other. And that's idiocy. Don't do that at the theater. But
well, unless it's,
I mean, like if you were to do a limited time only pork on a stick type thing,
pork on a stick.
That looked delicious.
Oh, how about this? How about this? Yeah. Throw in a free totsicle.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Totsicle with the pork on a stick. Oh man. That's a lot of good skewer action.
That's the perfect meal.
I think there's a lot of liability with those skewers.
Oh,
gosh. Hurt himself.
Yeah, about, you need to dull the end.
Make them little plastic laser swords.
Oh, yeah.
So that you got the souvenir.
Good grief.
Done.
Well, that's what they've got at...
somebody get this to somebody who can make it happen.
That's what they've got at Disney World now. They've got the lightsaber churros. So I don't know why we can't...
That's right.
Yeah. The lightsaber churros.
At this Star Wars world in Disney World,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
what are the odds that they will serve a perfectly cooked, pork-looking fowl?
Oh, they could easily do the turkey leg to look like the pork. They could easily do that.
Or just a little game
hen. Any kind of pheasant. Yeah, any kind of pheasant.
Yeah, box of pheasant.
You can shape it.
Cornish hen.
I mean, look, Disney's got a lot of money. Okay. What if? I mean, can't they breed something that looks like genetically engineered something?
In Japan, they have square watermelons, so they can stack more easily. And chickens, you know, they've got chickens with eight breasts. Isn't that right? I don't know if this is true, but you know.
I don't know that.
Wait a minute. Hang on. No, I'm more. Eight breasts does sound fantastic on one level, but. On the subject of flats on square watermelons, is that real?
That is real.
Wait, I think where's that?
Yeah.
That's
is that only that's a Disney?
No, it's in Japan. It's in Japan. Yeah.
They have 27th century technology in Japan.
They do. They can genetically alter anything over there. They can create whatever they want to. I mean,
square watermelons are fantastic. They don't roll away. Like one of the things about watermelons, like you put it up on the counter to cut it. You walk away off. And it rolls under the floor.
Yep.
Square watermelon is a great idea.
It is.
Yeah. They've got them. That's what I'm saying. Yep. So, yeah, they can. They
Why
can do
can't we have that here?
I just think that maybe it would just be a cultural nightmare. I think people wouldn't understand. And it just.
No, people embrace change.
There'd be an uprising.
Have you seen all the Star Wars fans embrace all the change from this movie?
No.
No, you're right. Okay, you're right. Maybe we're not ready for square watermelons.
Yeah, we're not ready for square watermelons. Nobody embraces change in the Star. I think the Star Wars universe
with High Li becoming a cultural obsession.
Yeah, exactly. High Li. I'm ready to see a different sport in Star Wars besides racing. There's got to be like we've got pod racing, horse racing, or whatever those things were. I mean, I'm
sure
there's got to be story beasts or whatever.
There's got to be something else.
Fathers.
Well, we saw some gambling. Yeah. We saw some new games.
Yeah, they have clearly some games of chance.
Well, yeah, the gambling's different. I'm just talking about sports, though. I mean, I'm ready to see something else. I mean, they've
got Gladiator on some systems. They have Gladiator like. Games,
like Hulk and Thor.
Yeah,
we saw some on a. Where did we see some of that on a screen? It looked like robot football. Where did we see that?
Oh.
What movie was that? Was that Revenge of the Sith?
Is that
maybe?
The holiday special?
No. There was a screen in the background of one of the prequel movies that had some robot football looking stuff on it.
Was that
Blitzball? Anybody remember the Blitzball arcade game? I think it was called.
That was awesome.
Something like that. That's what it looked like. It's different. This one had a football that would periodically explode. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember all that. let's do a deeper dive into like some of the Force stuff. Like, what are we thinking about all the quote unquote changes to maybe what we thought about the Force beforehand.
Were there changes, or did we just gain new?
Yeah, I think maybe it's add-ons.
Add-ons, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
no, I think it's you know, the old EU had a lot of Force powers.
Sure.
Too many.
Sure.
Too many.
Sure. Sure.
Like.
Sure.
Like they would conjure up force storms,
yes, yes,
vortexes, and it was goofy,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Like get out of bad writing kind of goofiness, right?
Yeah. Right.
Whereas these really drove the story. I thought they
right.
So, I mean, I'd like to see our palette expand, and they didn't like baby us on it. They just let it happen.
They just let it, yeah.
Exactly. Told it, let us deal with it, right?
Like, right, here, right, right.
Here's something new to live with it.
Here's something to blow your mind. I mean, here's.
Are we thinking more like the Leia scene where she?
Well,
was,
there's that.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I just, you know, this connection across the galaxy, this real time conversation with each other. That's we've not seen quite anything like that. I mean, Luke and Vader had a little bit of that when they were in kind of close proximity.
Well, sure. Luke and Leia. I mean, they've Luke and Leia.
Luke
have
and Leia
had
did
those
as
moments.
Well. Yeah, some of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were pretty close though. Like they were still on the same system,
yeah.
Right?
They were like Endor versus the.
Yeah, I mean, we never saw anything quite the scale of
quite intergalactic.
Across the galaxy, let's have a chat.
I'm sorry, intergalactic, that's right.
Right.
Well, and that was from the power of Snoke, right? Snoke.
Yeah, he said he infused all that. I mean, he caused basically.
Yeah, that he.
So this dude, this Snoke guy is super powerful. I mean, but
yeah, like, about him.
Yeah, and I felt like he was exponentially more powerful than we ever saw Sidious be.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well. I guess. I mean,
we didn't see him do anything that was far beyond what I think Sidious could have done.
Right.
But we certainly never saw Sidious be quite that precise with it.
Right.
I don't know. He felt viscerally powerful to me. I mean, with a little twitch of his finger, he lightninged Kylo to the ground.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yep. Yep.
And yet still obsessed with the power of Darth Vader. Like very obsessed with Darth Vader.
Yeah, yeah. Like he was the end all be all. And obviously he was different because he was a manifestation of the Force. And I guess we talked about it maybe earlier.
Yeah.
Elsewhere that maybe that was just, you know, Vader was a failure in that he was not properly trained to become all that he could have been But he just saw that potential, like that was the goal. That was where we should have had it all. But I mean, he didn't live long enough to do all that, I guess.
Yeah, and I get the sense that really with Sith, there's not much like training going on. Like there's really not good relationships between the master and the apprentice.
Just like
the
get
apprentice.
Angry.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's not. It's not like hey, we're gonna go have some training sessions so we can hone your skills. It's just like feed into your anger and go with it. I mean, it's basically like what the training is, and it's not like the master and the apprentice never really had the type of relationship that like a Jedi and the Padawan would have.
It's not like big brother, big sister.
Right, right, exactly.
In your local town.
Well, it's a master and apprentice. There are always two or whatever was said in the prequels.
Yeah, there's two. Yeah.
Sorry, Rhett, but I didn't mean to bring up the prequels, but.
Well, no,
are we on those now?
Well, I mean, look.
That quick aside, I watched Phantom Menace tonight.
Really?
Better?
As much of it as I could.
It's
not great. I mean, I gotta tell you, it's not great.
Oh.
It's not.
Well, but yeah.
It's very dated, too. Inexplicably, it looks so much more crappy than Empire or even A New Hope. Like, it really did. Like, you've not seen it in a while, but I'm telling you, it looks really terrible. And.
No, I haven't not seen it in a while.
The it's so poorly edited. It's so poorly edited.
Oh, man.
And the music plays nonstop. And it was hard to watch. In fact, I did abandon it at some point.
You just couldn't take it.
It's just really not good. Like, it should be forgotten.
Not unlike Disney. I mean, they did make more references to events of the prequels than I felt like had been made in.
Oh yeah.
Oh definitely. I mean, Luke said
Sidious.
Darth Sidious.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He.
Yeah, that's huge.
Went all in.
He never knew him. He never even knew him as Darth Sidious.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who bothered to write in his Jedi texts that story, exactly. But he must have heard it somewhere.
Well, the holocron. There's the holocron.
Oh, stop it. We're never going to see that in a movie. That's fanfic nonsense. I don't care. It's in Rebels. I don't care.
God. No, he had a commune.
So are teleporting dogs.
He just communed with Jocasta Nu, is what it, he communed with the spirit of Jocasta Nu.
Why, she's still alive in the comics. Maybe she's, yeah.
Like in what World era? Like A New Hope era?
Gosh, where was that? I mean, post Order 66.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I mean, I just had assumed she got slaughtered. I mean, because she was at the temple, I just assumed.
Right,
Anakin...
Yeah, and she's a million years old, and just eaten up with hubris. Like, oh, my side, we can't possibly be wrong. Then some idiot kid's like, maybe somebody deleted it. Oh, what a genius. Why is this kid the smartest one in the temple?
Oh, God. I don't even know why I'm laughing because I have no idea where y'all are.
No,
talking.
I mean,
have you seen the movies?
I'm
what
sure.
What do you mean? Do you even Star Wars, bro?
I'm sure that like
about? The librarian in the Jedi Temple archives.
Oh, that lady, yeah. Talking about Jocasta. Okay.
Well, I don't know that.
Oh, she was.
Yeah, she's a Jedi. They don't.
Oh, yeah. She was certainly a Jedi.
She wasn't just administrative staff.
Well, I guess they have administrative Jedi too. I mean,
well, that island had keepers.
There's a place for everybody. There's a place.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Dinosaurs. Yeah.
They did look like
Fraggle Rock.
I want them to say not the mama.
Yeah, they looked just like those dinosaurs. Which I think that's a Disney property, so that tracks. Tracks. That wasn't on ABC, I believe. So, yeah, that's where they got that design, I'm sure.
I wouldn't mind just sort of like on the border of the Star Wars land and Animal Kingdom, just have a little dinosaur themed area.
Is she going to get her own movie, Jocasta Nu?
Jocasta.
She's probably going to eventually get her own comic. I mean, they're eventually going.
Well, that woman is. She's no longer with us, that actress.
No.
Yeah, sorry to say.
Yeah, in fact, it was just like last year.
Her character outlived her.
Wasn't it just last year? Because there was a special card.
It all runs together.
There was a card in the app.
Yeah, I mean, she was about 150 when they made made Attack of the Clones, so I don't...
She inexplicably lived quite a long time. Because it was... it's been since the app... has been in existence.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's been
got an in memoriam card. That I'm sure, Donruss or Fleer or whatever company that was, that I'm sure they made a card.
I bet they did too. I forgot about
what
those
company
guys.
Was it?
Leaf. It was Leaf.
It was Leaf. Yes.
Oh, Leaf, you know what? Capitalize on a dead body.
Yeah. There's a fan theory here. A post I just came across on on Reddit.
Reddit.
Jocasta Nu / Snoke was the true Phantom Menace of the prequels.
Wow.
And they've got it side by side, and it's a believable.
Yeah, no, I see how they can get there.
She's wearing a gold robe.
Oh, did she have a gold robe?
She's wearing a gold-looking robe.
Kamino-looking thing, yeah.
Maybe she had a surgery.
Well,
she did some, she's gender fluid.
Well, she clearly had a trach at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You have raw power.
I love that's a pretty solid.
Snoke is man. I was
solid
enjoying.
Snoke.
I'll say Circus really brought it, and they did a good job with the CGI on Snoke.
Oh yeah, it looked good.
Yeah,
it
really liked good. All the Snoke scenes.
Yeah, it looked good.
A lot of people don't like those, but I did. I thought that was great effects work. I thought the voice work was good. I thought he was a well written from a dialogue standpoint. I mean, we don't know his motivation still, but.
We don't know who he is.
Probably not going to get him at this point.
Well, I'm sure that we will in like a novel or comic.
Oh,
yes.
Maybe. Those don't count.
I mean, Tommy knows who he is because he just read Reddit. But
yeah, exactly. Reddit. The bastion of truth Reddit is. Yeah.
It's Jocasta Nu. No.
I like this.
God rest her soul. Well, how much longer are we going to have Sio Bibble? We need to. They probably ought to go ahead and print out the old memoriam card for him too.
a catastrophic.
You know that. You know that. Dana Carvey sketch where he's reading all the possible ways that Gerald Ford could die because he was about to go on vacation, so he just recorded. He was Tom Brokaw. He was doing Tom Brokaw.
Oh, right.
Reading every possible way that Gerald Ford died from a wolf attack today or whatever.
Yeah, it was just all. Yeah, that was actually on the Dana Carvey show. That wasn't
on
SNL.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it actually. Well. Yeah, it was on an episode that...
Well, they may have brought it to SNL.
Ended up being on SNL later on, but because no one saw it on the Dana Carvey show.
Tom Brokaw.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, like, if you've got an in memoriam, I think he's probably next, right?
Yeah.
Maybe so. Probably. Earl, by the way, this is where you want to go with all of your Gerald Ford joke material. This is the place to come.
TTI?
Yeah, CTI
yes,
is the
yeah,
place to
your
come.
Home for any Gerald Ford.
Oh, yeah, that's
all
right.
Gerald Ford all the time.
I mean, you got to have a
card trading and Gerald Ford
jokes.
Death jokes.
Death jokes.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I'm at the right spot for me.
Yes, that's right. Also, what's our singer friend? The relaxed singer. I can't think of his name.
Esteban?
No, not us. No, this predates
Brian Singer.
I see what you did.
Mark Singer.
No. Rhett, you introduced me to that sketch where he's just like, it was a Perry Como. I don't know. He was just on.
Yeah, it's Perry Como. He would just lay in a bed and sing. Yes.
Yeah, he's so relaxed,
so laid back.
Yeah.
SCTV, I think that was.
Yeah, SCTV.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, SCTV.
Yeah, I think so.
So, on the subject of force powers, the big one that we got, obviously, was this force projection, where you can throw yourself across the galaxy
in a
very precise way.
Right. Yeah, that was
like
pretty big.
Like at sea level. Like, that's a lot of XYZ axes you're thinking about, right?
Because that planet is, you know, in orbit, some, you know, rotating
and
moving.
Its
orbit.
Like, it's the stars are moving and the planets are moving relative to one another. And he just, that's impressive feat. Yeah. No wonder it took so much out of him.
Yeah. I mean, it killed him, basically.
It killed him, didn't it? I wasn't sure if Mark Hamill was going to survive that scene. He looked
exhausted, didn't he?
He did. Dude, Mark Hamill freaking nailed this. He freaking hit it out of the park. I mean,
he had tears in his eyes in every single scene. Yeah, they were pooled up in his lids.
Well, it's the glaucoma, but I mean, still.
That could have been it. They just clouded over.
He had an allergy to a particular airborne particulate. They just kept the
might have been the
green
air.
Milk. Yeah, that's right.
I had a green dairy allergy.
Yeah, lactose.
Oh, I don't know. He looked like he really enjoyed that. That look that he had.
Oh, yeah, just let it run all down his beard.
Yeah, man, he didn't care. He was just he was belligerent about it.
No, he was all in. I mean, you think he'll get an Oscar nom
for
this?
No.
They're not going to
give
any Star Wars movie an Oscar nom.
No, these are all below the line.
Like if
Oscars.
If the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards were still around, then yes, he would win for that. But I mean, maybe he'll get an MTV. Maybe he'll get an MTV. Yeah,
MTV People's Choice.
Rose and Finn are up for Best Kiss, I think, on MTV.
Oh, have they already done the MTV Movie Awards?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Now, I haven't watched MTV since Remote Control ruined everything.
Ever since Kurt Loder left the news.
ever since Serena Altschul left, I've really stopped being interested. Good grief, we're dating ourselves with those references.
But obviously that was a big deal, right? That whole force projection thing.
That's big time.
And
that's big
Luke
time.
Dying.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. Well, I mean, rest assured he'll be in episode 9 as a force ghost. I mean, he will. Because he's gonna be there to help Rey through whatever she's gonna go through. I mean, because that'll happen. I'm sure of it. I mean, they're not just gonna.
I was a little bummed that he died, actually, but
I was like, too.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
I think that like it was meaningful.
More to do from him, but
well, no, I thought this was meaningful. I thought this was huge. I mean, this was a huge moment. I mean,
yeah,
it was big time. I mean, he saved the 20 people left alive of the resistance.
The spark will become the
yeah the spark
will light the fire
that will light the fire.
The flame,
I felt like they were
that will ignite
the house wick. Jack built. Yeah.
I really felt like they were like reading a Shel Silverstein book or something. I was losing track of the saying that they kept.
I was trying to build that root that. Rube Goldberg machine or whatever that the thing was going to be. I was like, let's see. The
spark that lights the fire.
Fan the flame. Where does this thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like the old lady that swallowed the spider or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, gosh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, that with these particular force powers that they have introduced... I mean, they better be careful not to go too much further beyond what they've introduced, because then you could get a scene like in the Getty Tartakovsky, where you've got Mace Windu wiping out a whole, fleet.
Like, I
was kind of, like, expecting that, before I put two and two together, that Luke wasn't really there, because of the whole, like, footprint thing on the salt.
The blue lightsaber.
Yeah, the blue lightsaber. And the ten years younger beard. Hair club for men. Yeah, he's not just a member. He's a or whatever.
Hair club for men.
Yeah, I thought he was.
He loved it so much he bought the company.
That's right.
I
really thought he was going to wipe out all those AT whatever they were. I mean that would have been. I thought it was going to happen. I thought we were about to get a Getty Tartakovsky moment. I mean, I really was afraid that they were going to do that. But really, I mean, the power that it had to take to do what he did was probably way more than that anyways.
Yeah.
I mean.
Send it across the galaxy like that?
And to bring the dice with him. Or a representation of the dice that lingered.
That actually outlasted him.
Yeah, they outlasted him, which was interesting. I
did not know that those dice can be seen hanging in the Falcon in A New Hope. I had not caught that.
Well, they were chained. Yeah, so they were...
I thought it was actual dice,
just,
the fuzzy
dice.
They
were just dice painted over.
Yeah.
And then for The Force Awakens, they were changed to the ones that we saw there that had the, you know, the symbols that were similar to the ones we saw in Canto Bite.
Right.
But they are... We've seen them. And I bet they show up in Solo. How much you want to bet?
They will.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean,
I think that's why we saw them here.
Yeah, there's going to be some significance, perhaps. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are they going to do with that movie? I don't even want to speculate. I don't even know what the point of that movie is going to be. I mean, I guess
I'm worried about that one.
I guess I'm excited for it, but
I'm always excited for more Star Wars.
Yeah. But I just don't know, like, what they can
do. Yeah, I'm not sure where that lands yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. Other than we'll get to see Lumpy. Like, we'll get to see Chewbacca say goodbye to Lumpy. In a really touching moment.
A reanimated Rue, not, what's her name?
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur.
Oh, gosh.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
There's so much to unpack in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in it, and it does kind of
happen.
So the Leia thing.
Yeah.
What a great shocking moment.
Oh man.
To have her sucked out into the emptiness of space. I mean, you think she's gone, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's how they're gonna get rid of her. She's dead.
Yeah, and if they hadn't shown her in other scenes in the trailers, it probably would have been an easier moment to swallow.
Well, yeah, but still, I had, like, my brain was blank at that point. Like, I had forgotten all the trailers, and I thought they had just killed her off. Like, with that first, I was like, did they really just do that? I mean,
That would have been a tough thing to keep hidden, right? Because they've kind of said, oh, we give her a good send off and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it like that like my brain was confused at that point because I'm like, well, that doesn't match up to what we've heard at all.
Right. It was crazy.
And
I mean,
Superman flew back into the building there or whatever.
Yeah, she did.
Not a bad thing.
That's going to be a very polarizing moment.
And it is. It has been already. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, people are upset about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like it.
I don't think it was particularly well executed.
Right.
It didn't look great.
No, it didn't look great. I mean, the second time around, I was okay with it. You know, after
I'm with you,
Michael.
So,
I mean, it's look. I mean, on one hand, it's cool to see that she has some latent force ability, right?
Yes.
And we don't know how much she's used it in the last 40 years. She might.
Sure.
She may not. If it was me, I wouldn't have walked across the room to pick up the remote since I discovered the power, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
It's like that boy at the end. Like, I wouldn't even touch the broom. I would just use it.
Oh, right. No, that thing would kind of, yeah. In fact, I wouldn't even bother pushing it along to sweep. I would do that with my brain. I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah. I'd never do anything. I was thinking about, like in Harry Potter, you know, they apparate. They can disappear and reappear at any other place. I would never take another step, right?
Your muscles would be so atrophied.
No, yeah, right. I'd be all drawn up like I'd been in a coma for 30 years.
Like one of the humans in Wall-E. You'd just be the, like a...
Oh, yeah, some gluttonous, just so fat. Yeah.
In a chair.
I just all have this food just flying into my mouth from all points if I had magical powers.
Be 300 pounds.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. So you know, we never see them use their force for just common activities, which is absolutely what I would do. And maybe she had. You know, maybe she's been using it all along, and we just haven't had occasion to see her do it.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind that part of it. I don't think it was particularly well executed. And look, there's this misconception that just the second you float out into space, you're instantly dead. And that's not the case, okay? Probably good to exhale. You don't want air in your lungs because the pressure differential is going to cause trouble. But you can survive for a little while. Your blood doesn't flash boil because our skin is pretty much airtight.
That's right. You're right about that.
So, movies want to make you think that you instantly explode.
Decompress. Yeah. And,
well, Outland, this dude's head blew up. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, that always happens. Or they lift the visor and they flash freeze like Tim Robbins on Mission to Mars or whatever. Do not recommend that movie.
The Day After Tomorrow style flash freeze.
Yeah.
So that part. Let's don't overthink that as a fan base. It's conceivable that she could last a little bit out there, but you would want to hurry that along. And who knows what sort of discipline the Force gives her over her body, to withstand some of that. Some durability. So
we know that that Force users can withstand like elements maybe different than a non-Force user, because you have to imagine that the water in the Phantom Menace was probably really cold, and they were just put their little breathing thing in and just swim in there like it was no big deal. I mean,
that was fairly deep too.
Yeah.
The pressure would obviously.
They say that was like in the core of the Earth or something of that planet?
Something like that. Yeah.
The planet's core.
Better dead here than in the core.
So we know that they can withstand elements.
But in Revenge of the Sith, they're floating around on lava, and let me tell you, you don't have to be in the lava for the lava to ignite you. Like heat conducts into the air. Okay, if it's hot enough to melt rock, if you're near it, you are going to catch on fire.
Yeah, and I really don't understand.
Anakin did at the end when he was farther from it than they were when they were fighting.
Right.
So, okay, George. Boy.
Well, of course, the one thing that no Jedi power will ever be able to overcome is the advantage of high ground. We do know that.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Boy, man, if you've got about a 2 foot advantage on somebody, you are in business. Yeah. Say goodbye to your limbs, short stuff.
Oh, God. Maybe her midichlorian.
Don't try it.
Yeah.
Don't try it indeed.
I just don't understand, like, why these people, especially, like, the Reddit people that are presumably, like, way into Star Wars, are complaining about something like that when you've got Darth Maul with spider legs. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand, like, and that's canon.
I bet they complain about that, too.
Well, it's just, but there's precedent for this, like these crazy things.
You don't see that. I mean, that's not something when you're debating the movies that comes up, because 99% of the audience that sees the movie hasn't seen that.
The people on Reddit
mercifully.
The people on Reddit have. I mean, the Reddit people.
Clone Wars, right?
Yeah, the Clone Wars, and then, you know, he also has metal legs, basically, in Rebels as well. I mean,
and
he doesn't
have a spider body. I'd like to point out, no rectum.
Which is a problem.
Like, isn't it a problem, Earl? Yes. Like, wouldn't that inhibit anything even approaching a normal life? No wonder he's so pissed off.
Yeah, he's cranky. He's really cranky. Yeah.
Well, we're the
guy hasn't taken a dump in 30 years.
You just have your robot legs. You just have a little colostomy.
Yeah, he's got a little.
Man, I go a couple of days and I'm like, well, my stomach's hurting. How much pain is this guy in?
Oh, he's just a tube. It just goes right out the bottom and there's a collection system.
That's right.
There's a little waste basket on the back.
Like they put on the back of horses?
Yeah. Like a little doggy diaper.
Little collector.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that they...
We always go there.
No, this is
hard. This is standard. This is how it works.
No, we're in good shape here.
Pretty standard, really.
Pretty standard, really.
No, but I'm sure that that's why they had to show Snoke's face, so that we could know that he wasn't going to be coming back, because otherwise you would have to expect the possibility.
Oh, yeah, like the tongue?
Because unfortunately in the Star Wars universe, being cut clean in half is not enough.
It's not enough
no longer
sometimes.
Good enough. Yeah.
It's not enough.
Because anytime some hack writer decides that, oh, that's a cool character, I wish the eminently more talented group hadn't already taken him away from me, I'll just put him back in. I'll give him robot legs and no butthole.
But I did like the idea of Snoke, instead of having robot legs,
yes,
legs were actually reanimated.
Come back, yes. Robot body.
Body.
And head with Snoke legs. It's poetry. It rhymes.
It's a symmetry.
Yeah, there's a symmetry there. The yin and the yang, the light and the dark. Yeah, there's symmetry
and
there.
And atomically, more believable for...
Well, actually,
just
yes!
Be attached to...
Yeah.
That can animate them.
Yeah.
What if Maul's top half attached to Snoke's top half? Vocals? I don't know. I don't know. It could happen.
Just some novel writer out there is making...
There's a... A four issue limited series that just got pitched.
It's got a green light.
Let's talk
about Kylo Ren's character arc. What do you
got to say about
Kylo Ren's character arc? Look, the guy's got a lot of conflict, obviously. I liked it as well. I mean, the guy's got a lot of conflict within him still, even today. I mean, you know, we saw that he couldn't pull the trigger when it came to trying to blow up his mom.
Yeah.
You know, he yearns for somebody to be some type of companion with him, just like, you know, he wants Rey to join him. And it has, I don't think it has anything to do with the whole Sith, like there are going to be two or whatever.
Think he's a Sith at all.
No,
I don't think
he just wants
that. He doesn't think he is anyway.
He just knows with her power and his power combined, he could really just wipe out the galaxy. And
yeah.
I mean, that's, I guess that's the one thing that is like what's his end game? Like there's not much definition as to what his end game is. Like why is he continuing, especially now, and I guess he might not know, but now that Luke is gone, what is the point of, you know, because he doesn't seem the one to even care about the things that like a guy like a Hux would care about, like ruling the galaxy in that way. Like why is Kylo Ren even interested in that?
Yeah, but I don't know that we've seen into him deeply enough to know what motivates him completely yet.
Right.
But I mean, it can certainly be something. I mean, like he wants to shape the galaxy to his own whim. He has hubris as well. He knows he's powerful.
Sure, he knows he's powerful.
And one thing I'll note is he hasn't really referenced the dark side any.
No.
Whereas Sidious and Vader, really. Like they embraced the dark side and they talked about it. I don't think that's him at all. He just uses the Force, period. And I like that view of the Force better.
Right.
They keep talking about this light and dark, but I think it's just the Force, and you use it however you use it, right? And that's kind of the way that seems to be his approach, is that I have this power, and that's it. Now, what his heart does and feels is separate.
Let's unpack that little bit, though, because Luke did reference, so when Rey was doing, you know, the first part, or it might have been the second part of her training.
Still talk about it.
Yeah, Luke certainly talks about it. Well, Luke
did. Rey didn't seem to care. Like, she didn't seem to.
Yeah.
She went down there, you know.
Yeah, Luke was like,
Luke is of that old school. Like, he's still, I mean, he's still clinging on to the ways of the past a little bit, too, even as he tries to distance himself from it and tear it down.
Because Luke was basically like, it gave you what you wanted, so you went for it, basically. And you didn't even try and fight it. Yeah.
He referenced it.
Like when he was talking about Kylo and he's standing over him, he said, I saw the darkness within him
Within him. Yeah, the darkness
within him. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he talked about his heart, how his heart had was lost or whatever.
Right.
Well, I think Kylo was so like Snoke kept belittling him and belittling him.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, man, I've had enough of this and I'll show him who's the real supreme. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, and he also had a personal connection with Rey that he didn't with Snoke, as far as we know.
That's right.
They had it's lack of a better word here. I mean, he had a more intimate relationship with Rey. You know, they shared things across the galaxy that they didn't with anyone else.
Right.
And he's probably not had a lot of that.
He
didn't seem to have a great relationship with his parents. I mean, he was separated from them even. I mean, Han didn't care, right? I mean, even Luke said Han was Han. But Leia kind of blessed it too. Take him.
Yeah.
And so I think he was yearning for some kind of a good relationship.
Yeah, and that was sort of the Jedi way, is to isolate you. And Luke was using that model. I mean, he wasn't brought up in it, but... You know, he obviously had the books and Yoda Ghost or whatever, and so you would imagine that his sort of nascent new Jedi temple was like that. It was very isolating and
So we think that, you know, referencing that Jedi temple area, do we think that the couple of students that went with Kylo are still going to be around? I mean,
the Knights of Ren?
Well, I don't know if it was the Knights of Ren.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they were. You know, we saw that flashback from Force Awakens where Rey saw
the Knights of Ren.
Kylo and the Knights of Ren kind of finishing off some Jedi, presumably at that temple. We've not seen them since, but Luke did say he took some of the students and left.
Kylo
and killed the rest,
killed the rest, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, maybe they're off in other parts of the galaxy enforcing the First Order rule.
Would be an interesting twist if the reason that these people that recognized the resistance calling didn't come because they're under some sort of duress.
They're under the thumb somewhere else. Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Are they called the Knights of Ren, or did I make that up?
No, you're right.
They referenced that in, I guess Snoke said it, right?
Yeah, Snoke said it, the Knights of Ren,
but not in this movie. No reference to them at all.
No reference at all in this particular film. No, I mean.
Yeah, I was just thinking, did they just drop that whole concept?
Well, it's possible they did. I mean, it could be that Rian Johnson just didn't care about that little bit from JJ and decided to pretend it didn't exist.
Right. Then JJ will bring it back next
time. And then it'll come back.
Yeah, JJ can pretty much do whatever he wants to. The slate is like completely
kind of left
clean.
With a clean slate.
So he can really do whatever he wants to. I mean. So, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. This just in. Rick McCallum is coming back to direct.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he wants to produce.
Dude.
The yes man for.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, I didn't mean to trigger it.
No. Is he the one that I said the other day was living in a ditch next to the guy that played Dutch Vander?
Yes, Rick McCallum. Like, what is he doing? He's like, he's basically like, Lucas has got him, you know, is trapped somewhere, ready to produce whatever boring thing that Lucas wants to make next.
Yeah.
You know, just, he wants to make a Pony Express movie or something. And
yeah. He has never got it. He keeps talking. He's been saying for 20 years, oh, I just want to make experimental little films. He ain't never going to do anything.
Nah, he doesn't need to. I mean, he doesn't.
No, why would he bother?
I mean, even though Disney got a super good deal on Lucasfilm at this point, I mean, it just basically looks like they took George to the cleaners here. I mean, they really like,
was it $4 billion?
It was $4 billion,
I think. Four and some change.
And then Lucas apparently
talk about a bargain.
Gave it to charity or whatever. I don't even know if he.
Yeah.
I don't. Even, well, that's the rumor.
He's rolling in a big pile of money right now.
I don't know. I think he gave it.
Didn't he give it all to. Wild rabbit rescue in California.
Whatever canto bite llama creatures that.
So
that's the
best
one
best lightsaber fight in any Star Wars movie.
Oh, easily
better than Phantom Menace. I think so too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I think that. Good God, that was epic. The
Praetorian guards were pretty good,
were,
too, right?
Those were some bad A's right there.
Like, they held their own.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The different weapons they had and stuff?
Yeah,
Why did they wait? Well, I mean, once they see the leader's been killed, Kylo is second in command. Yeah, so I don't know what the fight was about.
Just fall right in line with these guys, right?
Well, it could have been something like, look, they're going to try and take out Rey.
Kylo they have a fight to the death. They knew
Kylo
that
doesn't want to let that happen, so Kylo jumps in and knows that he's got to take them out or they're going to take Rey out. I mean,
that could be. I'd have to watch it again.
They were loyal to Snoke and that's all we need to believe on that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not, it doesn't matter, but gosh, that one freaking scene where she throws the lightsaber and
He just pops it on.
It reminded me of
that's good stuff.
What was it? No Country for Old Men, whenever he would kill people with that air thing
it
was kind of like that.
A little bit.
Those were people under those masks, or were they robots, or what?
Those people.
I think they're people.
They're meant to be people. I mean, it's hard to that we discussed last time that it seems like it would be harder to see out of that
hard
mask.
Hard to see out of the helmet, but maybe
I think they are intended to have been like elite.
And look, the armor. I mean, look, they were just well trained in martial arts. They had pretty cool weapons, and they had effective armor. So I mean, I think it's conceivable that they were just folks.
Yeah, they're just well trained. I mean, basically the Phasma level, you know, elite stormtroopers maybe that you know, took it to the next
level. Maybe even a little, maybe even a little more extreme than she.
Because they were obviously hand to hand.
I mean, she expert. I mean, unfortunately, that particular character ended up being kind of a waste.
She went out like Boba Fett. I mean,
but is she really dead? Y'all think she's gone?
She's
dead. That Star Wars doesn't work. I mean, unless she shows up with spider legs in somewhere in the EU.
Yeah. Well, her armor may be heat resistant, but she fell in that flame. So.
Well, that may be so.
She could, yeah. Right. She'll just have a patch over one eye.
Yeah, she'll. Yeah, she won't have an eye.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. Y'all are so quick to write these people off. Even DJ, you're like, we'll never see that character again.
I don't think we will because no, I don't think JJ cares.
That's not how Star Wars works.
Yeah, I don't think JJ cares about DJ.
We didn't see Kitster. He's the Kitster of this movie. And we're not going to see him again.
Benicio del Toro doesn't do sequels, usually. I think he's about to be in Sicario 2, but usually he does not do sequels.
And Avengers 3.
He signed up for the... Yeah, he's in the Marvel franchise.
Well, he's only been in one so far, hasn't he?
Well, I mean, he's about to be in the second one, no.
I liked his character, though. Characterization, I thought.
The only thing I didn't like was the Del Toro lisp. He just felt like he had to do something weird with his
stuttering thing.
The stuttering thing. It's so unnecessary.
It wasn't even a legit stutter. Like, it wasn't a stutter in the spot that a stutterer would put it.
Right. Yeah.
It was more of a Tourette's twitch.
It was
kind
a
of
tick.
A
yeah.
It was
yeah.
A little, it was a tick. Yeah. It was a tick.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. You know, I'm sure that was his idea, and Ryan was just like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
I've got a movie, you know I've got a movie to make. Say it how you want to say it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he didn't turn good. Like, he wasn't the thief with a heart of gold that, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
No, he was bad, and then he was good because it served him, and then he was bad again because it served him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, he's the most relatable person in the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
Like Rhett's spirit child there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I hope we see him again. Maybe that's Ryan's new trilogy. His guy should be the star of it.
Just DJ. The character of DJ.
He's my
that
spirit name, animal.
DJ? I didn't pick
well,
that.
Well, he's DJ because he said, don't join.
Yeah.
Right? That was his little, that was his motto.
That was his motto.
Nobody ever calls him DJ. He's unnamed.
Yeah.
He was marketed as DJ only because of that.
Because of don't join.
Okay, whatever. I see now on the IMDb.
But again, yeah, they never say his name. I mean, we never. There was a theories at first that everybody was hoping he would be like Ezra or something like that, Ezra Bridger. But it's just, I mean, it's better
no, that's
left.
Good. That's good to have a random person.
I just, yeah. I'm kind of like leaning.
You mean like Ray?
I'm kind of leaning
right.
towards like
exactly.
Rhett.
The parents were nothing.
That I don't think that we're ever going to see anything that happens in Rebels ever come into the movie realm. I'm starting to believe that now. I mean, they gave the Easter eggs in Rogue
yeah,
One.
Yeah, nothing more than an Easter egg ever.
Well, yeah.
And then Rebels, I mean, that's because of the timeline. I mean, we saw glimpses of stuff in Rogue One, which makes sense for that. But based on when that happened,
and
that
yeah, well, I mean, Ezra could be, I mean, he would be 50 in his mid 50s or whatever.
He'd be about,
so
see, that's why everybody was like,
it's not outside the realm of possibility that he would.
Yeah. That's why everybody was like, oh, that's perfect age for Benicio del Toro's character to be Ezra. I mean, that's everybody was really, really hoping for that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Nobody, they're just trying to do that.
I thought he was better than Ezra.
I see what you did there. That's good.
Thanks. Do it.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, Ezra keeps coming in second on the list of hottest bands.
That's right.
I feel like that was probably a Norm Macdonald Weekend Update joke that I have repurposed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My favorite of his was one of the headlines from that era was he said, a merger has been announced today by two popular dessert chains. The country's best yogurt has just merged with I Can't Believe It's Yogurt. The new franchise will be called I Can't Believe It's the Country's Best Yogurt.
When he was hot, he was hot.
Yeah.
He would deliver those lines.
Yeah,
it's good.
Right.
And then, of course, whenever he was Burt Reynolds, that was always good, too.
Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson, yeah.
Turd Ferguson. So, is there a triangle? What's going on with, like, Rose and Finn? Is there Rose, Finn, Ray triangle?
I think they're sort of pairing off, and then Ray saw and acknowledged that and appreciated it for what it was and let it go. the arms of Poe.
I mean, and I hate to say this because I'm sure there's a lot of people like shipping all these relationships or whatever, but that's a storyline I don't care about. Like,
I don't need any romance at all, honestly.
Like, I don't care what happens to Finn. I don't care what happens to Rose. Poe, I'm sort of like, he's been up the list now. He's moved like ahead of Finn. Yeah. And like Poe to me, I think, is an interesting character all of a sudden. I mean, because I think he's going to be thrust into a leadership position. Obviously, I mean, that's what they
can. Yeah, he's by default. Yeah. Yeah. He's technically second in command right now, but he's about to be first.
Yeah, exactly.
Some things that we can't really help.
Yeah, exactly.
And by that, I mean heroin.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good. What it was. It's sad.
No, it is. No, I know. It's just
what an awful thing.
Yeah, holiday heart. Bad thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways. But yeah, I mean, I know they want us to care about that side story a lot, but I just don't care.
Well, I liked Rose.
I liked her, but I didn't expect to.
And I thought she was good.
I liked the character, but I don't care.
I thought she played it well. It was a little on the nose, a little heavy-handed with the whole look at them whip the animals and they're so mean here. Blah blah blah. I mean, I don't. I'm dead inside, so that doesn't affect me, right? Like I would be, like if it were me, I would be in the casino drinking and betting the farm, right? And I'd be like, I have built some fantastic fighter craft. I will sell them to whoever will pay me the most money. This is how we play this game. So that would have been me.
Yeah, I was kind of mad that they busted up the casinos, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I was like, "What? Look at this property damage. Have you no decency?"
Let's talk about Rose's plan, though. So here's Finn. He's going to drive his ship down the throat of that.
Right.
Whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And her plan is to crash her ship into his.
To save
him. Could have killed him, first of all.
Kill them both. And then let the resistance be killed by the gun that we now have not destroyed.
My thing about that was, would she have had the skills? Because she was a mechanic. She was maintenance or something.
She was maintenance on the ship.
So maybe she could have. I mean, because I guess those things. I mean, it's more akin to crop dusting than flying stars.
It seemed pretty low tech, where you just kind of point it and go, right?
You have to remember to put the monoski down, of course.
That's right.
Perhaps there was a manual that she thumbed through before, and Finn just didn't. His impulsive self just jumped right in.
Wait a minute. Didn't she say her and her sister came from a mining community?
They did.
Well, I don't know, but her sister was obviously a pilot for the resistance. So I mean,
She was a bombardier.
Yeah,
she was a gunner and a
Was she a gunner? I thought she.
Yeah,
was
yeah, yeah. She was in the turret. She was in that bottom turret when she
had to climb up to the.
I mean, if you're interested, there's a book called Cobalt Squadron, and there's a bomb one too.
Yeah.
So there's some books if you want to know more about. If you want to know more
about
Paige Tico.
About planet or about what?
About Paige Tico. More about Paige, the bomber, the sister.
Rose's sister.
Yeah, and I think Rose is in it too.
But to your point of, instead of fighting who we hate, we should save those we love. That's how we're going to win. Well, in this particular case, perhaps fighting the ones who are about to kill all of you.
Yes.
Maybe it's the appropriate time for that.
Where's the sacrifice, right?
Well, you have just doomed us all you have saved one person. I mean, this is real needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few kind of a thing, right? Or the one.
He wouldn't have killed them. He just would have killed that one device. And then
himself.
Yeah. And himself. And then they just would have brought another device. I think she made the right call in that case. And, of course, her thing at the beginning was – like, you coward, I'm taking you to the brig because you're trying to desert. And because she had lost her sister. But then she realized, like, yes, her sister sacrificed. But in this case, this is not the place to take the stand like this. Because if they hadn't, you know, if they had just, if Luke hadn't come, if the thing had been blown up, there wouldn't have been a hole there. Luke couldn't have made his apparent exit from the door, you know, then they would have just been a siege, and they would have just withered away until they brought another StarTech battering ram and gotten in there, you know. So in that case, I think the logic is sound as far as the way that it worked out. The question, though, is did she make, you know, yes, it was
other than well, she could have killed selfish. Them both.
I mean, she had fallen in love with Finn. So yes. She just sacrificed everyone else's lives, potentially. For his. For just the opportunity to say so. And then you would have to expect that you will now be killed in your crippled ships. You will be either trampled on by these giant walkers, or you will be killed by the infantry,
shot by the artillery. Yeah,
like this is not going to end. This is not going to go the way you think it will, right?
Oh, thank you, Luke. Yeah.
And man, did Finn have to drag her a long ways?
They were way out there, and then he put her on a piece of debris and drug her like 2 or 3 miles.
Did he do that while they were shooting? Everybody was shooting at Luke, I guess.
Yeah, when was he dragging her back? It's not clear. Yeah,
I think so. Maybe he took a long circuitous route around too.
Maybe so. Yeah, because I don't remember seeing when they would show those wide shots of Luke standing there. I don't remember any
dragging her along. Yeah. Of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't seem like an oversight. Down. What a stupid movie!
Didn't Poe drop down it. That trench? Didn't he drop down that trench and they had like a door that
Poe did?
They all
yeah,
shooting through a door.
Yeah, like, they did, which would seem to suggest there's more than one way in or out.
Yeah.
So.
Dadgummit. No.
Yeah. No, I did notice that too. I'm like, well, they just went in a little. But look, I mean, I get that. I mean, that's like a World War One trench warfare kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, that was cool. I love that.
Similar to what we saw in Wonder Woman.
And Earl, no surprise, you would have thought that was cool, given that you're joining us today from the front line.
from the lines, yes, from the Maginot Line. Joining us
today from the front lines of. what was the
Here's
name
your
of that
update
thing?
Crate. On the Battle of the Bulge.
Crate. It was Crate.
Yep, Crate. That was the name
Crate.
Of it, yeah.
Crait.
Yeah.
Which is not the worst of the place names.
No, Octo, not great. Not great. Not a great name.
Here's my beef with Rose, though.
Uh-oh.
The girl who played Paige Tico, Veronica Ngo,
yeah,
is hot. She's hot. Okay, they kill her off.
Right,
Earl.
What can I say this on there? And then Kelly Marie Tran, she just doesn't do it for me.
Oh, I think
like,
she's
why
cute
we
as a button.
That?
Tommy's
Earl,
met
we
her. Tommy's
we
met her in
not
person.
Dwell on that sort of shallow stuff here.
Well, thank you for reporting in once again from the.
From the 40s.
From the 40s.
Hey, that Asian day was pretty hot.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Which one of those Orientals did you like?
Oh, no. Stop
it.
Stop.
Wait, what?
I think we forgot to tether.
No, he's a playing a role. He's
playing
a
role. That's right. Yeah, he says role playing. Allegedly.
And then they kill that A-wing pilot, Callie. I was like, no.
Oh, did she die too?
I thought played by Hermione.
Yeah, everybody did. She died in the hangar.
That's right.
The Brigands look alike. He didn't even get to finish his sentence. They didn't even show him once. Cut back to him. They just showed him halfway through his line, and then he blew up.
Yeah.
Oh, which one was this?
There was a Porkins lookalike.
Oh yeah, there was kind of a.
Yeah. Porkins. Oh yeah. Yeah. I like to think that was Snap Wexley. We didn't see him in this.
He's dead.
He
didn't die in Force Awakens.
Oh yeah, why wasn't he around?
Well, everybody died.
Well, he may have had a heart attack once he got back on the ground, like just off camera. Like we don't think there's a lot of time passed between the two movies, right? Because they were.
JJ.
So that's what I think. He maybe choked on a pork leg.
Like, he's choked on a bantha steak or something, like, between bites. He's like those guys that, like, he's like Chris Farley in the Chicago scenes.
Yeah,
he's
beating his chest. Oh, no, he's having another heart attack.
Oh.
Maybe maybe Paige or Rose could have used some of their Far Eastern holistic medicines to save him. Right, Earl?
I apologize. I'm sorry. This is not going well. This is not going to go well.
Don't they have some kind of a herb or root they can rub on it?
Oh God!
This is not good.
This is yeah. You ain't. We not anywhere near where we've been.
Also, looking at IMDb, did you know they had a guy who played R2-D2, like another little?
Yeah,
person?
Yeah. Jimmy V.
Jimmy V
took over. Yeah, yeah. Took over the role.
Okay. Yeah, where was R2? He kind of like just was in one.
Well, he just sat on one scene in the Falcon, and yeah. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. That's
just kind of sat on the Falcon, just chilled.
Yeah. No, BB-8's the new darling droid.
Yeah,
he's a darling. I'll say that.
Poe is really enamored with him too.
A little bit too much, right? I don't think coins are the only thing been pushed into that slot.
Oh my gosh.
Well, he was scratching him like he was that, like you do a dog or something.
Like a pet, yeah.
It was more like a pet. It was like a little pet.
And I was just like,
he has many ports.
I mean, I think it is safe to say that they.
We might need. It might be time to wrap it up. I think maybe it must be the witching hour. It might be time to.
Oh my gosh!
Sorry about that. That sounded like some Earl would say.
Like Rhett's take on the Porg, I have to say that I did not hate the other. Ball-shaped droid as much as I thought I would.
Yeah, the evil
BB-90. Well, then they had the little resistance one also. There was a bunch of them. There's of course. Yeah, there's a lot of them now.
BB-90 was really not in it that much. He had one key thing.
But,
I still don't like all of the merchandise sale. Like, why are we going out and buying toys of these beloved characters that we haven't even been introduced to in the movie? That's a little weird to me. I mean, I understand, though, you got to get a jump on the holiday sales.
I had a BB-9E stuffy. I've had that for a long time.
Yeah.
It came out ages ago. Yeah.
The risk there is that you load up on that stuff and you get Constable Zuvio'd with it, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Where nothing shows up in the movie.
I guarantee you, with J.J. Abrams' humor, that there's going to be some redemption for Zuvio in episode 9. Like, we're going to go back to Jakku, and there's going to be some type of scene with Zuvio in it.
Possibly.
Yeah, the only reason JJ really wanted to come back is so he could
redeem the character.
To redeem Zuvio. Yeah, that's like his sole mission. So apparently today he pitched his story idea to Iger. According to the internets, he pitched his story idea to Iger today. So we'll see.
Story idea for what?
Episode 9.
They don't have story yet for episode 9?
Nope.
No.
I thought it's already in the books.
No.
Johnson created the...
No.
No, that third, no.
The script is not even...
That has lit the fire that... Oh.
No, you've got JJ and the dude that wrote Justice League working on the script for episode 9.
Oh, that's a good one.
and
I guess they've got 24 months, right?
They pitched the story today.
Well, so it's coming out May of 2000.
No, December 2019 is episode 9.
Okay, yeah. That's okay. Right.
Yeah, like the first thing that JJ demanded or asked for was pushing it back, because it was supposed to be May 2019. And so first thing when they announced JJ, they announced that same time that it was pushed back to December 2019.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If they don't have a story. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and because he gets, I'm sure he gets points. And your ceiling, your box office ceiling is higher if you release in December than in May.
There's no tent poles going on like that. Yeah. And, yeah.
So he definitely, I'm surprised he didn't demand February.
Well, I mean, there is Avatar 2. I mean, he needs to be careful. He needs to be worried about Avatar 2.
Oh, boy. by then we'll have Alita Battle Angel 2. So
oh yeah, Alita Battle Angel.
Mortal Engines 2.
Mortal Engines 2, yeah.
Oh, that looks what is that? I don't know.
YA thing, man. It's a YA novel.
Is it?
Yeah, Mortal Engines is. Yeah. I think it's a YA thing, or it's either that or it might be Magna or what is it? Manga? Might be some of that.
Manga.
Yeah, manga.
Mortal Engine manga. That could be. Because that's what Alita is, right? Or is she an anime?
Alita was anime, I think. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Earl's our expert on all things in the Orient.
Sorry. He's coming. He's actually not in Europe. He's coming to us from the Pacific Theater.
Yes. Yeah, he's out at Guadalcanal. And,
Good grief.
Oh my gosh.
He's out there island hopping.
Yeah. That's right.
Our boys keep bombing the heck out of the Jerry.
Jerry.
I can't even get my theaters right.
Oh gosh. All right, well, we've not
addressed the elephant in the room,
which is
in the finest moment of cinema.
In the history of movies.
Yes.
Is the hyperspace jump through that stupidly named mega class super carrier or whatever it was.
It's like one of those things that I would just want to spend the whole day at the theater and just go in at an hour and 52 just to see that scene over and over again.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So some people don't know the studio sent notes to the theater warning them that at roughly 1 hour and 52 minutes in, there would be silence for approximately 10 seconds. And that was a creative decision by the director, and it wasn't that they had a bad file.
Right.
The audio wasn't messed up. Nothing was out of sync.
Right.
Which was notable, and I had seen that a few days before, and just thought that was kind of cool that they felt like they needed to warn us. And obviously, I had no idea what the context was.
Oh,
but knowing where it happened, as she started to turn the Radis toward the fleet. I had a feeling that that's where it was going to happen, but it exceeded my expectations in every way.
That wasn't what showed in the TV spot, was it? Because I didn't watch the spot where some people said, I wish I hadn't seen that before
there
the movie.
There was something else. I can't remember.
Well, there was a late one of the late TV spots where Rey grabs Kylo's saber and lights it up.
Yes, that's right.
I know that set off a few folks.
Okay,
I wish I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, They were a little excessive with the TV spots.
It was different than anything we've seen from Star Wars.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, okay?
Yeah, it was, man.
It was a beautiful moment, and you could have heard a pin drop in both showings.
Yes.
Because it kind of happens, and then there's this long gap of silence, and you hear the theater collectively... it was a perfect moment. I immediately wanted the movie to end because I knew I was watching it again, so I could start watching it again to get to that moment again. I loved it in a very big way, in an important, intimate way.
Wait, what's he doing right now? I don't know. I hear a lot.
But I love it. I mean, it's visually, it was remarkable.
Oh yeah, it was.
It was well conceived. It was creative.
Yep.
Watching the other ships in the fleet dissolve away is fantastic. Just the silence. I mean, I appreciate silence.
Yes.
And all the time, really. But in that context, especially, it was just perfectly executed. It was badass. Like, it was a cool thing that she did anyway.
Yeah.
And the payoff was just, it exceeded my expectations. And I want more of it.
Well, maybe Rian Johnson will have a moment like that in his new trilogy, like each one of his new trilogies.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope that's not like his best stuff. Like, I hope he's got something better. Man, I mean, my expectations are heightened.
He's a talented dude.
What I can possibly see.
He really is a talented guy. I mean,
rumors true that the trilogy is going to focus on a planet that's populated entirely by Porg and BB droids?
Look, I hope so. If we get some cool silent slow-mo, I'll take it. Look, I didn't even hate the Matrix moment with Luke.
No. I thought that was awesome. That was fun.
Cool. We've never had a slow motion moment in Star Wars before.
Well, and I think
we've never had flashbacks in the extent that we had, like basically three different points of view on them. But it's different. Did we have this? We didn't have wipes. Did we not have wipes?
No, I don't think there was.
No. I don't remember any wipes.
I don't remember any of those terrible Lucas wipes.
They're not terrible. They're
terrible. Why? It's not. It's cheap. It's cheap. It brings the whole thing down.
It's supposed to harken back to how we did things back in the 40s.
Well, we don't do things that way anymore. Yeah, exactly.
Cereals.
We don't do things. Well, they used to call people groups awful names back then, too. We got away from that.
That's right.
Let's get away from the wipes.
I apologize to all people groups.
Wipes are just as bad.
The wipes are but the problem is JJ is going to feel like he needs to do. Maybe he won't. I mean, I'm just
really the wipes.
I'm like worried about JJ wanting to make it look like The Force Awakens, and he's got to know that he's got to bring it. He needs to bring it more than that.
Now,
I feel like we're set up for a letdown now, because I don't think JJ visually. And structurally is what Rian Johnson is.
Well, no, but I think JJ has it in him to go beyond what we saw in The Force Awakens, which was really just
a reset.
This is a safe.
But he's
what
never
Star
done
Wars
it.
Feels like.
But there's nothing. But it's so by the numbers. Like, all his movies are by the numbers. He's a straight up and down Spielbergian kind of director.
Well, but Spielberg has his moments. I mean,
Spielberg he hasn't had a moment like that. Hyperspace Junk.
No, you're right. I mean, you're right.
Gareth Edwards would be a good director. I don't know why we're not using him more.
Well, I just
Rogue Duck. I think he has a good eye too.
He does.
Or whoever ended up directing Rogue One.
Well, it was him and Gilroy, I guess. They tag teamed it.
It wasn't Gareth Edwards.
Well,
whole thing. They did. Somebody else did the reshoots.
There were some reshoots that.
Is there a scandal going on?
Well, there were some reshoots that happened, but reshoots happen in all the blockbusters. I mean, there's not.
Yeah, that's all the movies.
Although I didn't hear about any reshoots in Episode 8. I didn't hear about any actually.
No, I haven't even heard of any cut scenes. I think he used everything he filmed.
Well, no, he did announce that there's deleted scenes.
I think
scenes.
It was just like, the movie was just one long continuous take.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was all one take. Yeah, they did everything.
And they rolled.
Yeah.
No, he said there's going to be nine.
I heard it. There was no special, no computer effects at all. Everything on
everything was practical effects.
I heard everything, every bit of it was.
Elon Musk took him to space, and they did all the shots.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
It's a real. It was a real bummer for the guy in the Snoke suit.
I thought that was animatronic.
For realism, though, they had to do it.
Yeah, they just had to cut the guy in half. Yeah,
that's dedication.
It is dedication.
It is funny that they've got plushies of Snoke and all these like characters.
I've got
of
one.
Snoke.
I've got a plushie.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you think, and then like, well, there he goes. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I haven't unboxed mine, but it comes apart. It just
Hey, why does this come up?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's Velcro. Yeah, it's like it comes apart right in the middle. Yeah.
That's a good way to play with it. Yeah. There were some moments between Luke and Rey, like when he would say, "All right, now reach out."
Right.
And he did. I want a GIF of that, of him doing the eye roll. Like, he literally rolled his face.
Yeah, that was a good. Yeah, that was good. He had a couple of good moments. Look, I loved her. I loved her line to him when he was like, "No, I'm not going to train you." She's like, "I've seen your daily routine. You're not busy."
And at first, like, especially when he took that little frond, that little leaf or whatever was sticking on her hand, I was like, "This is a little silly." But then I remembered, like, that's the way Yoda was.
Oh,
Yoda
sure.
Yeah.
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 And how about Yoda?
He was awesome.
I mean, for the most part, that was a good. It was like a combo of CG and puppet. I don't think it was puppet the whole time. I mean, I think there was.
I think it was all puppet.
I think you need to look at it again.
You can tell from the chin. Like, they never got the chin right on the CGI, but that puppet chin is.
It looks
like you can tell, right? And I thought it looked so much better than the CGI. But CGI has probably come a long way in the last.
It definitely looked better.
I was almost weepy the first time that scene. I mean, happy and smiling, but almost. And just everything they said in that was really.
There's a lot to unpack in all that, and I haven't really even thought through.
No, I love tearing the Jedi down because they were losers. I mean, they were losers in the prequels.
No, they were the good. They're the light.
But Luke was right.
They were more flawed than the Sith.
Yeah,
they were the.
I mean, the Sith knew what they were.
They were the whitewashed tombs. Is that what you're saying, Rhett?
Yes.
But yeah, Luke.
They should
Luke
spit out of somebody's mouth.
Yeah. Luke was totally right about all of it, though. Like that, they allowed Darth Sidious to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened right under their noses. I mean, they're idiots.
Yoda finally
got it too. Like Yoda seemed like. And look, hey, how about he's more powerful now than he seemed to be. He called lightning down from the sky like he's freaking Thor.
Yes.
But he was just laughing and burning that thing down. I was just
Like old school Yoda. Like the Yoda that we met in Empire.
Right.
The CGI nonsense when we met in the prequels.
Right.
Flipping around like a. Like Luke kind of flipped around a little bit.
He did one little move.
Yeah, little Yoda move there.
It was.
I kind of was hoping they would really have a serious, full on lightsaber battle. I mean, I like the idea that he projected himself too, but part of me still wishes.
But I guess they never made contact at all, did they?
No,
they couldn't. That was the whole point of this.
Right, but I'm just trying to think that the sabers never clashed, which
he didn't have an important point too.
Right, but he did lean. He leaned down and kissed Leia too, though, on her head. So,
and apparently they could make physical, like skin to skin contact, but that lightsaber didn't exist. Like it had already been broken.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's a great. That's a good point. Why isn't it green? Like his
exactly.
I was confused, and then I let myself think. Well, was this a terrible error from the?
Right,
like this is a real big mistake, continuity. Right?
Ryan Johnson was doesn't make errors.
Like I was logging into IMDb to note the goof.
No, I don't think Ryan Johnson makes
errors. No, I didn't. No, I don't think so either. So, it was you started to put it together, and you know where did he come from? Did he just show up and in the building?
They made a big point of showing his foot, not leave a mark in the.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, and they because they had first made a point to show everyone else's leave a mark, right?
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Even Kylo's right before that, and then the general, what's his name, earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last thing to talk about is Rey's parentage.
Ooh.
Well,
I had someone ask me. This is the person who's not a Star Wars fan, wasn't able to see the movie anyway. Said, "Oh, so you saw the Star Wars movie? So was Rhett right? Did they say the line?"
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry. You mean the thing that I adamantly said would never happen?
It's going to be in
because
the next
it was
movie.
Ridiculous.
And just to remind the listening audience, what was that line?
Well, no, I don't remember having that conversation. I'm not sure what you're referring to here. I was always pretty adamant that Ray was just a nobody.
So you see.
Yeah, no, I would have. I think it's a missed opportunity.
A missed opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's a missed opportunity for Luke to have said, "No, you are my father," from a certain point of view, as she was a manifestation of the Force. But they went another way.
So glad that they.
She's not a manifestation of the Force, which is fine with me.
Yes,
even more fine with me is that she's not some character's kid that we were supposed to care about. But she's just some random folks who was given away by her drunk parents.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, right, and I think that's the idea that the Force can be in any individual. Some of them will
yes.
Yeah.
Have more midichlorians and
Well, yeah, I was listening to...
Stop saying midichlorians right now.
I was listening to, I think it was Steel Wars, and Jason Ward was on the episode I was listening to, and he made a really good point, and I didn't put two and two together, that the concept of a pauper, you know, a person like that comes from nothing, is actually pretty far away from like what a Joseph Campbell hero would be. Like a Joseph Campbell hero is usually somebody that would come from royalty or something like that. It was always somebody like in a higher esteem. And so I like that Rian Johnson just flipped it all on his tail and basically said, look.
No, but Luke wasn't originally thought to be from royalty, was he?
Well, yeah, he wasn't originally, but he was, basically. Yeah. I mean, Skywalker. I mean, so, you know... That because Lucas is obsessed with Joseph Campbell, and so you got that Skywalker bloodline, which is essentially the royalty of, you know, Star Wars. You know, he is not necessarily somebody that would.
That's right. Yeah. He thinks he's a nobody, but then he finds out he's somebody.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I hear what you're saying, but now they're just nobodies.
I loved that scene, the mirror scene. With the long line of rays, I liked that.
Yeah,
but it was sort different. Of her. It was her cave scene. It was
right. Scene. Yeah, but I mean, I liked that visually how that was presented. Yeah. I liked the audio, the whole audio visual presentation there. I really dug. Yeah.
Right.
You
know what I thought though. You know what I thought when she saw herself in that mirror? I was like. Damn it! I think Rhett might be right,
and she's well, I thought says, too. I thought. Does this mean
I
that
thought
she's just created from nothing. Here we go. Here we go.
I thought maybe that you were
it
right.
It still happen. Episode 9.
No, I don't think it will. I guess I'm off the.
Because of course Luke saw himself. I think that's just you face.
Yeah.
You face your inner demons.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that she even said, and I don't. I remember this in any other part of the film where she sort of gave a narrative, like a narration of what was happening in the past tense. She was like, I felt like I should have been scared
or
afraid. That
was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. I don't think Star Wars has ever done.
Well, she was talking to Kylo, right?
Yeah. She was communing with Kylo at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was telling the story of, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was
and
still.
We were seeing it as she was telling it.
But still, that is such an interesting way. To like Lucas would have never had that type of thing where, you know, as a storytelling device, he would have never like shown the audience a scene and then had Rey take talking over the background and then come to find out she's talking about something that happened already. She's taught like, yeah, that's like, well, so far beyond like Rian Johnson, man, I don't want to say the guy's a genius, but he is such a better storyteller. In all ways.
Well, because he did not stay within the bounds that Star Wars had established.
Right, yeah, the confines of, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, he did not – he used creativity to get beyond that. And it was – I think it served it well, and a lot of people don't. There are a lot of people who seem to be really upset that this ain't their Star Wars and that Force Awakens is vastly superior, but they're wrong.
I'm so over people like that are like these all these people that hate these Trekkers that hate Star Trek Discovery because it's different. It's not like what my Star Trek is, or I'm like, let these stories go beyond, you know, what the norm would be for them.
The box.
Yeah, I'm so tired of just let it be. I mean, that's the only way that Star Wars is going to be able to really survive, because it doesn't have the advantage of, say, like the Marvel Universe, where it's got decades of stories already out there that they can pull from. I mean, this is going to have to be new stuff, and by far give it to Rian Johnson, because he is going to be able to tell at least some interesting stories that people are just going to have to suck it up. And if they want it to continue, they're just going to have to, it can't all be Skywalker all the time. I mean, we need to go beyond that.
And it can't look the same and sound the same and feel the same either. Like we need something new. And that, I was telling someone, like, I decided recently that Rogue One is really maybe my favorite Star Wars movie.
It is awesome.
Just because it looked so much different than Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the third act is pretty much blissfully perfect.
Yeah.
So, and now with The Last Jedi, like it didn't look like Star Wars either.
No.
That was good for it.
Yeah.
And look, what did you think about, like, the first time, the first viewing,
mm-hmm.
it didn't really register with me what I just saw.
Same.
But then the second one I did.
Yeah.
And that is we see this ship landing, and then we realize that it's a robot iron.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Wait.
Okay, oh. Like an ironing. Ironing some pants.
I saw that the first time that thing came up on the screen, and it looked like it was supposed to be a shot of a ship. To me, I turned to Earl and said, "Is this Spaceballs?" Because it looked like. And somebody.
Yeah, it was a real hardware. Yeah, hardware.
It was just an homage to Hardware Wars or something, I'm sure.
It may really have, like, I feel like it was, it's so overt that it almost kind of probably was an homage to Hardware Wars, right?
It was, yes. It had to have been. Yeah. I mean, Rian Johnson, look, this dude is a fan's fan first.
Yeah.
You know, and so he knows all the stuff. I mean, that's all.
Because it was only a gimmick. Like, it brought nothing else to the table.
No.
Like,
we didn't need.
But I guess they were there because they had changed into those clothes, right?
Yeah.
They were in the.
I mean, because they had a couple of moments like that, like when they would show the stitches being taken out of Kylo's face, or you know, they would show some close up things. So it wasn't completely out of the scope of the way that the story was being shot. But the angle on it was before they'd even cut to the wider shot of what was going on. But,
right. It's intended to make you think that it was a ship landing. You know, I'm like, whose ship landing? Where are we going?
But it was silly. But it was just silly looking. Like it was cartoonish because it wasn't iron. You know.
Because of that.
But
so then you almost there's this sense of relief that it is an iron.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's some guys that were really upset about him just throwing the lightsaber over his shoulder. That they said
gosh.
You know, they said, while it was funny,
needs to stop.
They said, no, this is breaking up a very serious moment.
It just needs to stop.
But that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing of like when Luke finds Yoda and Yoda's, and you know, Luke's like, serious, I need a Jedi Master. And Rey has the same attitude, like finding Luke, and Luke's trying to break her of that attitude of that incorrect sense of reverence for warriors and all this stuff. And no, I thought.
I mean, I love it. I like it too. But tonally, it doesn't match what JJ established.
Correct.
No. And I felt like Rian was just like, I don't care about any of that. And I'm going to do my own thing, right?
Good. Blow it up. As far as I'm concerned, blow it up.
I'm there too. Like, blow Star Wars up.
Just blow it up.
Wait a minute. Now this is tradition.
No. Can't sustain that.
Speaking of the tradition, you've read The Lottery, right? Tradition needs to go away. Otherwise, we randomly pick someone and stone him to death. Because it's tradition.
Yeah.
Let's don't do it anymore. Let's blow the process up.
I mean, I know you're from the 40s, and you know you've come to us from the 40s, Earl, but we've got to blow it up. It's time.
That
I mean,
it's he's got a great set of gams.
Yeah. It's
what? She's what age is she now? I don't know.
It's got to stop.
Sorry about that.
I mean, I hate to say that. I hate to say that about, like, look, I mean, everybody's fully, of course, welcome to be, you know, whatever fan you want to be, but you've got to be willing to evolve a little bit. I mean, you've got to be willing to.
Nobody has to like everything.
Right.
But you just have to expect that if they're going to keep making movies, that there's going to be new takes on it.
I was just kidding, actually. I thought it was great.
I mean, there's people out there that are, I would call them like Lucasites. I mean, they just need to. It's got to evolve.
There's a group of people who won't like any of this because it's not Lucas. Star Wars died with Lucas,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
I wish I did, but and I don't buy that. I mean, that's not the approach I take. I want to be entertained. And I've stopped having. Like, I had certain expectations going into the prequels, and my those expectations were dashed. Right. And I don't do that anymore. Like now I'm just like, you give me what you want, to give me.
Right.
And then I'll make a decision
on
whether or not it entertains me. Well, this entertained me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So they win, right?
They do win. And the attitude.
I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't get what I expected, but it was still entertaining. And the prequels could have done that too. Even if it didn't turn out like I wanted, I did have a baseline expectation that it would not make me want to put a gun in my mouth to watch it.
Oh gosh! As we
and they, well, that's where they failed me.
That was an unspoken expectation.
Right. I mean, that's just based. So, but they failed me in that, and this did.
And I've
this makes me want to live.
Yeah,
so I
exactly
can see it again.
Exactly, and I've certainly been guilty of complaining about maybe a filmmaker or a storyteller not telling the story that I wanted them to tell. Well, you've got to not have that attitude anymore. I mean, I've got to be better than that, and I've got to let the creator of the film tell the story. And dude, Rian Johnson is an impressive guy to me. I mean, he directed the hell out of the film. I mean,
how many times did y'all think that we were about to get a closing credits? Because as far as like plot points goes, there was so much that happened.
A lot.
I kept thinking,
yeah,
oh, this has got to be it. This is where we're cut off.
Well,
because, and this is the second movie, you know. So I was looking or expecting a possible Empire style ending where you sort of have this end on like a not to cliffhanger for lack of a better word,
right?
And it kept like stuff kept happening.
I think that
all
I was going to say is that I think that maybe they have too many characters. I think that maybe they should have started this whole thing, and it might be JJ's fault or whomever's fault to decide to put all these characters in there. But I think they've just got too many. Like the Finn's story.
They've certainly pared it down now.
Like Finn,
there was only one moment for me that I felt like we could have credits here, and that's in the Falcon when everybody's kind of gathered around, and Poe and Rey just met, and then it kind of you get a little bit of a wider shot, and you see everybody, and the music swells, and you feel like you're about to get it, and then they put the stinger on,
with the kid.
Back at Canto Bight.
That
was all. I mean, I saw a couple of reviews that were like, hold your pee, because the movie has
so
about
dumb.
Three or four different endings.
That's
and I didn't feel
so
that at all.
Dumb.
I felt
God.
There were two.
Such
I mean, there were only
review.
Two moments, and one of them was the moment, right?
I
so
about the Muppet thing at the end, the Moppets at the end there with the thing. But
I'm always against any sort of children of child actors. Because they're never good.
Yes. Well, I just think, I mean, I know what he wanted to convey was that anybody in the galaxy could potentially have the Force.
I got it.
But,
it sort of like I think you said it in one of the chats, Rhett, and it really rings true that they're hammering home that, look, I mean, Rey is nobody, you know, she's from nothing.
Yep.
There, here's this other kid that is also from nothing. I mean, so
yeah,
it
yeah.
just hammers
well,
that
and
home
look,
even more.
Luke was
if
saying,
you're talking
but,
about planting seeds, right, then maybe episode 9 takes you ahead 10 or 15 years.
I think it will.
Yeah.
I think it has to. I think it, I
or
think
the
that's what
trilogy.
And then you get rid of that solves your Carrie Fisher problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That could do it.
I think that
because
that's
you're
probably
gonna,
what
you're going to want to have to they're not going to show they're not going to be able to build an entire resistance capable of taking on the First Order
in a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Solidly, yeah.
So you're going to have the galaxy really basically under its thumb. Pretty hard, I think, and then you can you know use the crawl to bring us up to speed on the last 10 years, and it feels like they're preparing for a time jump.
And the sweeper kid will be a teenager by then, so he'll be
right. So there'll be like
well,
a whole
I,
class
I,
of exactly. people, kids that grew up.
Yeah, but I don't. But also, I don't think that they're going to utilize any of those particular characters for the film. I mean, I don't.
No,
think,
not necessarily those.
Well, no,
characters.
But the concept of the seeds being planted throughout the galaxy because of this that happened in this movie,
right.
And now those seeds take time to grow, and then you have to sow and reap and all of that, right?
Sparks. There's the sparks. You're
such an agrarian.
Yes. This next movie is going to be all about farming.
I think it's going to. I don't think it's going to be 15 years. It's going to open up immediately. 5 minutes with this kid still
sweeping.
The entire sequel trilogy takes place within 2.5 days.
Yeah. If it's Spielberg like, the kid will be sweeping, there'll be some dust that sort of goes in the air, and the camera will follow the dust and it will go up into space, and then there'll be a shooting star, and it'll be exactly.
Well, now, speaking of traditions that don't take away, Earl, I know you and I were talking about it, that John Williams, it seemed like he really brought it.
Yes.
Maybe he saw Rogue One and was inspired to get back to his
The roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care for The Force Awakens. You know, really the only memorable part of it was Rey's theme. Came back in this one. Yeah. It wasn't that good. But otherwise, I thought the music was not memorable at all in The Force Awakens. But in this one, I remember. Like, it swelled at all the right places.
Yeah.
There were callbacks to themes and motifs from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
You got the Imperial March when you were talking about Vader, right?
Luke and Leia's theme again when they reunited or met. Yep.
Yep.
Leia's own theme.
Leia had her own theme. Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know if we got Yoda's theme when we got Yoda. I don't. I don't recall it.
We did. Yeah.
I didn't know. I don't remember it, but
just very briefly.
Okay. Good. Good.
Oh, it was there. I see. I'm sure it was. I mean, it makes sense that there was a couple. But I just don't recall.
We didn't. We didn't get Jar Jar's theme, which is good.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a theme, does he?
No, he did. Yeah, he did have a theme.
Yeah, he had something.
He had a theme. Real short, real quick little theme, but he had one. No Augie's Municipal Band.
They used some music from the episode 4 where I think it's where Luke and Han are shooting. And it's kind of this Western sounding, and it was but in the new movie, it was when the Millennium Falcon went down in that trench.
That was awesome. Gosh.
And I just got the biggest like rush of like that
was awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I was like dun dun. It's like dun
dun. Dun, dun.
So
dun,
the dun, the Falcon's dun, dun, a turret gun. Dun. Like I noticed in The Force Awakens, like it's got this deep thump to it every time it shoots that was not present in the original trilogy. Am I right on that?
I don't think it was.
They might have enhanced the bass on it a little bit.
No, I feel like the sound quality on that is much superior to whatever we got on the.
So.
Yeah.
Like with it, sweet.
It's different. Like it's just different. I don't think they've enhanced anything. It's a different mix. It's a different sound effect altogether.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll take it.
Speaking of awesome themes.
Oh, that is our best segue yet.
100%. Thank y'all for joining us. I'm Tommy. Find us on Twitter, @_Illuminati. Michael, thanks for being here.
Thanks, it was awesome.
Brad, great to have you. And Earl,
thanks
for your first appearance here. I hope you come back sometime.
Yeah, it's fun. Thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you soon.
I love getting to the flute part.
Or whatever. Yeah, no, we don't always.
I like
yeah, no, I was like, oh, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
It's very classic.
We sound legit.